Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, January 9th. I'm Ray Graff. You know, public radio is very erudite and sophisticated, and today it's all about wine and cheese. The cheese is on the table. The wine is ready to be decanted. Joining us is Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl, a state-of-the-art cheese-making facility in Steventown, New York. Mary Rizzo, the cheese traveler, a purveyor of fine, handcrafted, domestic, and imported cheeses, and much more in Albany, New York. And John Fisher, retired layabout professor at the Culinary Institute and author of the CIA's Kitchen Pro Series volume on cheese identification, classification, and utilization. You got a question about the cheese? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday today, and we are going once again to explore the wide and wonderful world of cheese. With us today is Shalina Bridgham. Shalina has been in the specialty cheese industry for over 20 years. Since 2013, Four Fat Fowl, located in Steventown, New York, has reflected this commitment to making locally sourced, handcrafted cheeses of the highest quality. Mary Rizzo is the proprietor of the Cheese Traveler in Albany, New York. It's a legendary joint. The Cheese Traveler offers handcrafted domestic and imported traditional cheeses, charcuterie, sandwiches, pantry items, local organic meats. John Fisher is the author of the CIA's Kitchen Pro Series volume on cheese identification, classification, and utilization. He has been a food and hospitality pro for over 40 years. He recently retired from the Culinary Institute. Fun fact, he introduced Martha Stewart to Flavor Flav. That was on the last script. You know what? I don't care that much about Flavor Flav or Martha Stewart. If you have a question about cheese, give us a call at 800-348-2551. Again, that's 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org if you wish, or just call 800-348-2551. Now, before we get the show started, I just want to let you know that the lockbox is open, and due to last year's loss of funding, we, WAMC, rely more than ever on you, the listener. Your contributions fuel the newsroom at WAMC, public affairs, arts programming, even this train wreck, as well as new initiatives like WAMC's On the Road series. We're dedicated to serving our region, but can only continue the mission with your ongoing support. The lockbox is open. Donate right now. Help protect this public service. You know, we've made this thing together, and we're going to keep it going. And all we need you to do is kick in what you got. It doesn't have to be much. Visit WAMC.org to make your donation. And now we begin the show. And by golly, Mary Rizzo is here. She's got devices that I've never seen before. They look painful. How was the holiday season at the Cheese Traveler, Mary Rizzo?
It was fantastic.
Yeah?
People love their holiday cheeses, which means my case grows from about 125 cheeses to about 250 cheeses.
That's crazy.
I know. And they're all so decadent and delicious and different that I had to bring some to share.
So this is fantastic. And you brought something that looks like some sort of thing that Torquemada might have tried out a few hundred years ago in the Inquisition. What is it?
So this is a Grail.
A what now?
Grail.
Grail?
A Grail.
Is it the Holy Grail?
It's a Swiss device. And it's pretty simple. There is a board that has a nail that screws into it, where you impale your little wedge, your little
wheel
of tête à moi. And then there's a little blade that runs around the top and curls that cheese into a delicate little flower.
Look at that. That is so beautiful.
It is. And it's very, it like just melts on your tongue, these little flowers.
So what kind of cheese is this?
This is called tête à moi, head of the monk. It's from Switzerland. It has a little bit of stink to it, but this cheese, when it shaves so thin and so light,
oh my gosh,
just melts.
This is amazing. John Fisher, try it out.
Oh, I will.
Oh, boy. Shalina Bridgham, you have your mouth full now. So I'll just let you just hum a few bars.
Delicious.
Really? How are you doing over at Four Fat Fowl?
We're doing good. We're cranking cheese out. Happy that the holidays are
are through.
That's the way I feel. Let's get it over with. Yeah.
You know, keep Mary's shelf full, and now we're getting ready to slow down a little bit for the harsh winter months.
It's tough to hunker down during the harsh winter months, but great to have you back. John Fisher,
I
hear from you almost every day, so I'm not going to ask you what's up. All right, what's up?
Well, I got a haircut, so I'd look good on radio.
Oh, congratulations. That's great. I've been letting mine grow out a little bit. I'm letting the old freak flag fly.
Just
you know what I mean?
Don't do the ponytail.
No, it's very that's a very bad look for people who are ancient.
What about the man bun?
Yeah, I don't know if I could get enough hair to do that. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's cheese. It's a little wine as well. WAMC is our website. You can make a secure pledge to the lockbox. And you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. All right. Listen, I've been working pretty hard. When I walked in the studio at about 7 minutes of two, these three were already sitting here and set up. And you might as well just tell me what you have here. I mean, John, you start with the hooch.
Well, we're going to pace ourselves. We're going to have different things along the way. First, we have sake from Dasai Blue in Hyde Park, New York.
Okay, this is the collaboration?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a financial collaboration with the culinary, but they're very closely associated. One of the reasons that Dasai picked the site was because it's close to the culinary.
Gotcha.
But they are a world-famous and one of the best-known sake producers in Japan. And they actually are pledging that their sake from New York will be better than their Japanese product.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. PR?
Okay. All right.
No, but they...
That's probably not what you want to say, but okay, no, that's fine.
No, but they are planning on making it the best sake that they've ever made. And so we have two of them here. We have the 35, which is a semi-boy of 35%, meaning that the rice has been ground down to 35% before it's made, so it's a more delicate one.
Yeah.
And then we have the 50 Nama, and that is 50%, which is the highest percentage allowed for a Daiginjo sake.
Okay.
That said, it's also a Nama, which means it's unpasteurized, which is pretty rare for sake.
Okay.
And this was just bottled yesterday.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Should we let it age a little bit?
No.
Have it later in the show?
No. In fact, when they store their sake, they store it at 0 centigrade. So.
Okay, so that would be what?
32.
Freezing. Yeah, 32 freezing. Degrees Fahrenheit. What is that in Kelvin?
Come on, you're younger than I am.
Not by much, man.
And wouldn't the traditional pairing for that be the four fat fowl St. Stephen?
It very well could be. Interestingly, you know, their PR person suggested the 35 with blues and more aggressive cheeses, which surprised me because 35 is theoretically the more delicate one.
Okay, so can we taste it now?
Oh, yeah, please do.
All right, ease up, Julia.
Shut up and let me taste it.
My cups are all labeled. I'm ready to roll.
All right, so clearly, Shalina Bridgham is ready to party, so I think we should get going here.
Oh, it's like candy alcohol.
Yeah, yeah, it's got a sweetness to it. Most sake does have a sweetness.
Thank you.
And one thing that is kind of commonly said about sake is that sake doesn't fight with food.
It goes beautiful.
It helps to support
it. Is the 35 I'm going for?
And the 35, either one.
And this, before I have my sip, we're pairing this with St. Stephen.
Yes, at Mary's suggestion, and it goes beautifully.
And you put some jelly on there,
yes, Pixie Jam, New York's. And right. Ray, you're forgetting the most important thing I put on
there. The heart.
The heart. Because I love you.
Oh, you know what? Right back at you. I love this cheese, too. It's amazing.
See, this is the thing, is that you don't think about sake with cheese, with Western cheeses. And it can be so good with different kinds of cheese. And
is cheese popular in Japan?
No, but they want us to start helping them to get people, Americans, to drink sake with American food, with Western food. And I've had a Yamahai, which is a crazy kind of sake, had it with carnitas tacos one time and was a direct hit. So sake, you know, getting Americans to drink sake with something other than sushi is one of their missions. And that's one of the reasons that they're near the culinary.
So that's a very nice combination. And the sake has a nice, clean, it goes down smooth. It's very nice and it complements the cheese very well. You know, that St. Stephen is tremendous stuff.
Yeah, it's
always
such great cheese.
All right. Well, we have time maybe for one more. Tell you what, let's grab a call, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and then We'll do whatever. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's begin in Albany, and let's go to Linda. Hello, Linda. You're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This may be a very pedestrian question compared to what you're sampling right now, but I've always wondered what the difference is between queso blanco and queso fresco.
All right. I don't know. Does anybody?
Off the top of my head, I expected Mary to, like,
jump right in.
I mean, when I look at the two cheeses together, I feel like the queso fresco is maybe a little drier and sometimes used to in place of feta, where queso blanco, the application is similar, but I see it more, it can be incorporated more as an ingredient. But it's also crumbled.
You wrote a book on this.
On queso blanco and queso fresco.
I want to hear what Mary thinks, because if anybody knows cheese, it's this lady.
Well, I think primarily some of the texture comes into play.
Yeah, the drier.
I mean, blanco usually, in my experience, has been cow's milk specifically and more creamy.
Yeah.
And its texture. So I don't stock either of those cheeses, but I do have a Riojana, which is a mixed milk. It's goat, cow, and sheep all together. And so it does bring that interesting flavor profile to it, a much richer cheese. And so I lean towards a deeper finish.
You know what, Linda? This is the amazing thing. You started by saying, well, this might be a pedestrian question. And you really stumped the band. We have three experts in here. And so bonus points to you. Do you want to follow up?
I think Mary's on it. I think texture is going to be your biggest difference in the two.
Well, John is looking it up on his phone. And frankly, that's cheating. And so we're going to take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number.
CIA.
All right. We'll be back. It's cheese, people. Mark Keys here on Vox Pop last night, 800-348-2551. It's always fun to have the cheese gang here. We'll do it a couple of times this year, and we're getting one in early. Shalina Bridgham is from Four Fat Fowl in Steventown, New York. The St. Stephen is legendary stuff. Mary Rizzo is proprietor of the Cheese Traveler in Albany, which is a really cool place. You go in there, and what I like about it is you get this aroma, and I think it's just a combo of several different cheeses. They're all in cases, but yet you still get that vibe.
That funkiness that comes from well-aged food, it definitely prolific in my store.
It's awesome. John Fisher is an author. You're working on another book too, right?
Yeah, I'm working with my former colleagues on a new wine textbook for this culinary.
That's very cool. And so what have you learned?
Well, I've already done Italy, Germany, Austria, and finishing up New York in the next couple of days.
So you're doing all these countries, and then you're just handling one state?
Yeah.
What about, like, Wyoming wine or something like that? Don't you want to do all the states?
No, somebody else has those, thank goodness.
Okay. And you're working with how many people on this book?
Three other people.
Now, are they difficult to work with? Okay. The number here is 800-348-2551. And it's cheese today and beverages. All right. This is not cheese exactly, Mary Rizzo, but what did you just give me? It's amazing.
Well, January 19th is National Cheese Lovers Day.
Okay.
So in the spirit of loving cheese, right next to the Cheese Traveler is a Dominican Puerto Rican bakery called Delicias Latinas. And she made for us on puff pastry and homemade guava paste and cheese, little breakfast or any time of day, I guess, little tarts.
I'm having one now. And I got to tell you, this is artistry. And John, you said this would go well with the 50?
Number 50.
All right, so let's try a little more of this. I got to say, I've not heard of this place. Wow.
Wow is right.
It's delicious. I've eaten two already. I'm sorry.
I'm pacing myself.
That guava is just the perfect. It's not too sweet. It's got a little tart to it. And with that sake, what a combination.
Now, yeah. I like this 50 a lot. Now, what is this 50?
So this is a 50 nama, which means it's unpasteurized. And 50, the 50, the numbers refer to how much the rice that the sake is made with is reduced down to during the milling process. And as it's being milled, it's removing the difference between brown rice and white rice, right? So it takes away the proteins and the oils and fats, and it leaves just the pure starch that's in the middle. That's why sake rice is sake rice. It's different from eating rice. And so as you get down to that pure starch, you get a more delicate and more refined product. Their biggest seller, well, their most famous product is called 23. And the 23 is only 23% of the rice is left when they start making the sake.
Wow. Okay.
So 23 is what they're most famous for. They're beyond.
Do we have that here, John?
You have the 30. We don't have the 23.
Okay.
I brought the 35 and the 50.
All right. So don't give them a tip.
23. We've had the 23 in this studio. Just not today.
Anyway, this is very nice. And the pastry, Mary, tell your friends over there, well done. The number here is 800-348-2551. Shalina Bridgham, Mary Rizzo, and John Fisher are with us today. And let's check a couple emails. VoxPop@WAMC.org. This is from Sam in Cornwallville. I recently heard, parentheses, on the internet, so, right, that 90% of rennet is produced by injecting a bacteria patented by Pfizer into a fungus as opposed to the traditional source of rennet from a cow. Is this true to your knowledge? We've been thinking of making our own cheese. Thanks so much for considering the question. Sam in Cornwallville.
So rennet can be animal. It can also be microbial. And then it could also be a plant-based.
Okay.
So there are different strains and there's different recipes. I mean, that's really how you take one thing, milk, and turn it into thousands of different cheeses. So is Pfizer have that percentage? I don't know if that's true or false, but I do know that there are different strains of rennet now.
Take a step back for those who, even though they've done maybe 12 cheese shows, can't remember what rennet is. So what is that?
So it's one of the four ingredients of cheese.
Okay.
Cheese consists of milk, whether it's from goat, cow, or sheep. It contains cultures, which are the flavor. It uses rennet, which is what causes the magic or the science or the chemical reaction that breaks down the milk. And it requires salt, which is your preservation agent.
Ah, okay.
So in the absence of any of those four ingredients, you don't have cheese.
Mm, okay.
So that's why, in my opinion, there's not a vegan cheese, because milk is one of the four crucial ingredients of cheese.
All right. Every time I hear the word rennet, okay, I'm sorry. All I can think of is 70s Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder Rennie Stennett. It's just, it's weird. It's just, what about you, John? You remember Rennie Stennett?
No, Ray.
Okay.
You're scaring me a little bit.
I think of Ren and Stimpy, and I make cheese, so I don't.
Okay.
Well, my husband makes it, but I'm like, oh, yeah, the Ren and Stimpy dancing through my head.
I will tell you that the active part of rennet is renin, which is the enzyme that that helps change the protein structure of the casein in the milk, and it makes it so that cheese can actually melt.
Huh.
But making something as simple as a table cheese or a ricotta cheese, the acidification doesn't have to necessarily come from rennet at all. You can use lemon juice. You can use vinegar. So in Sephardic cheeses, Sephardic Jews used thistle. So that's it's a plant-based rennet.
But it accomplishes
cardoons
the same goal.
Also. Mm-hmm. Cardoons have it. Stinging nettles have it. And that's why the non-renneted cheeses, the acid-only cheeses, don't melt like with ricotta and a ravioli. And when you break a ravioli open with your fork or your knife, the cheese doesn't melt out like the cheddar on the burger because it hasn't been renneted. I'm not making that
renneted
up.
To own? Okay. Mary writes in, we love our cheese in this family. We discovered a new one at a friend's house. Red Leicester, and we loved it. Good, something slightly different about it. Not sure what the flavor was. Haven't been able to find it at our local cheese sections. Any comments on this cheese?
Well, it's at the Cheese Traveler.
I knew it would be.
We use it on our Farmer's Grilled Cheese Sandwich. Ooh. It's a cloth-bound British territorial cheese. So it could be the cloth is something unusual in the American cheese palate. It's not something we've experienced a lot. And because the cheese is, and I have here, this cheese is called Pitchfork.
Okay, do I eat the rind if I wish or not?
You can because I pulled the first layer of the cloth off of this cheese.
Okay.
But you're going to find it's not like a block cheddar. It's not acidic in the way a block cheddar is. And
it's almost nutty. It's really good.
Exactly. But that umami is from being cloth bound and aged in a condition that's damp enough that cloth gets the funkiness of the cave that it's aging in.
What is this cheese?
It's called Pitchfork, but it's a British territorial cheese.
It is amazing. So what's the flavor profile of Red Leicester?
It kind of has that cheddar, this cloth-bound cheddar essence to it, but the beer pairing, this one, is going to be very fun.
Well, we'll have to do that a little later because I didn't pour the beer, but I did pour a wine.
Okay, and what is this wine?
So this is from my basement. I don't have a wine cellar or a wine basement.
Did you make it there?
No, I'm not an Italian grandfather from Brooklyn.
Okay.
This is a Vouvray from the Loire. It's a demi-sec, so it means half dry. That means it's a little sweet.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's a Chenin Blanc. It's a 2018. I've been holding it, and I thought it would be a nice thing to bring.
That's nice of you.
A little aged wine from my house.
Now,
it's lovely.
Just a thing here for someone who's not really a wine aficionado in any way. It's 2018. You left it. It doesn't really change once it's bottled, right? Does it?
Wine changes. Booze doesn't change. Wine
Thank
does.
You.
So I have here a mixed milk cheese. This is Tome Chabris from the Basque region.
Oh, it's good with the wine.
And that's the pairing for this wine.
Yeah. So it's Chenin Blanc, which always maintains its acidity, even with a sweet wine. That's one of the reasons that sweet wines from Vouvray can actually be excellent. And there isn't enough Chenin Blanc around, as far as I'm concerned, because it's such a great grape. But this is a very famous producer, Domaine Huet. And what?
I don't know. The girls are acting up, I'll tell you that. What, I don't know what's going on over there.
She doesn't like her goats.
I don't like it.
All right.
And I grabbed a piece of 15 years, hoping Mary wouldn't quite notice.
All right. Fair enough. Well, you know what? Let's grab a call. 800-348-2551 if I have to stop this show, you two. Joan is in Schenectady. Joan,
Turn
you're on.
The station right around.
How did I know it was going to be me?
How you doing?
I'm well. And it sounds like all of you are doing well, and I'm happy for that.
Good.
Happy New Year. And my question is, the part of a well-aged cheddar that has those crystally crunches in them,
yeah.
I love that. I think when you were describing St. Stephen's some time ago, I thought,
No crunchies in that.
No crystals in that, no. That's a soft cheese.
No crystals.
It's beautiful,
soft,
though.
Okay.
No, but we soft, did have good. One time a five-year Gouda. That was crystallized, and we were all raving about it.
I think you brought it in once.
Yeah, I think I had a... I don't even remember what it was. There's so many cheeses.
Yeah.
Well, it's in this 15-year
cheddar.
It's
in the 15-year
cheddar. Yeah, so Mary Rizzo brought a 15-year cheddar, Joan, and it's...
It's so good.
Spectacular. I mean, and I love the crunch, too. They're little crystals.
The tyrosine.
Is that what it is?
It's an amino
tyrosine?
Acid.
Tyrosine? Mm-hmm.
It's an amino acid.
Oh,
that
thank you.
It becomes less soluble as water evaporates from the cheeses. So it's not sugar, it's not salt. If it was sugar or salt, it would be dissolved in the cheese. So as it becomes less soluble, it finds itself and it turns into crystals.
Amazing. And it has to age a while for that to happen, right?
Yes.
About 1 year.
Yeah.
And that's why cheese lovers are called turophiles, because of our little tyrosine love nuggets.
That is some good cheese. All right, Joan, you want to follow up at all on the crystals?
I would love for John to give me a pairing with a nice aged crystally cheese.
Do you like beer?
Schlitz.
I love beer.
Because I would say either a brown ale, because I always refer to brown ale as a little black dress of the beer world, because it goes with everything. Mm-hmm. So brown ale, okay. if you don't like hops, you don't like bitterness, a brown ale. But IPA is the classic pairing for sharp cheddars.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go,
I like
Joan.
The brown, so I can go with that. Right. I can go with that. Happy New Year.
Thanks, and thank you for being on the show. By the way, speaking of beers that go with anything, who makes the beer for Trader Joe's?
I have no idea.
I got to tell you, there are some good ones. And I got this holiday double bock that is just stunning. It's so good.
Well, you know, a lot of great breweries do contract brewing, which is a bigger brewery that works with your recipe and with your directions. Two-way brewing in Connecticut makes a lot of beers for people. And in fact, my buddies at Industrial Arts in Beacon make a bunch of beers for other small breweries. That's how Brooklyn Brewery started. Their beer was all made in anything. If you see a Brooklyn Brewery bottle, it's made up in Utica.
Okay. It is cheese today and wine. It's Mary Rizzo from The Cheese Traveler, Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl, and John Fisher, who is retired but still working on books, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go to Boston Spa. Douglas, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I wanted to ask you guys about a Danish cheese called Danbo with seeds. It's also known as King Christian. I have not been able to find it in well over 10 years, and I used to love it so much. Do you know where it's made or if it's still available, where might I be able to get it?
I don't know the name. Do you, Mary?
It doesn't sound familiar, and I haven't seen it on any import lists in the
Could you tell us the name again or spell it?
Danbo with caraway.
Danbo.
With caraway seeds, okay.
Yeah,
coming
that's
in
right.
From Denmark.
It's also known as Sister Christian, you said?
King Christian.
Oh, King Christian.
Sister Christian is a song from the 60s.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right.
All right, so what do we know? Anybody find anything out about
this?
Well,
what's coming in from Denmark.
Mary, you don't know anything? You don't have that?
I do not have that cheese in my case. In fact, most of the caraway style cheeses I have come across have been in a Gouda.
Waxed rind.
A Gouda with caraway. That's interesting. I've only had the Danbo, and it was so good. And then it just disappeared. I don't know what happened to it.
I don't know. Maybe it's just not much of a call for, you know, not all Americans love caraway seeds. You know, that's why
that's
seedless
that's
rye. But
so where would someone, now the Cheese Traveler has a couple hundred different kinds of cheeses at any given point. Mary, where would Douglas continue that search if you don't have that?
Well, because it's an imported cheese, his options are a little bit limited in certain markets.
Yeah.
I mean, the more I read about it, it sounds like semi-soft smear ribbon. This sounds like a Havarti, like a caraway Havarti.
Right.
Which
Havarti would have a caraway
seed
like that.
Yeah, there's a couple domestic producers of caraway Havarti. I would try seeking out Grand Ost Havarti. They do a caraway, and Roth also makes a caraway Havarti. Those are the two that come to mind.
What do you think, Douglas?
It's worth a try. Thank you very much. I appreciate your addressing my questions.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Let's grab one more before the next break. And you can email as well, voxpop@wamc.org. It's cheese and wine and beer and such with John Fisher, Mary Rizzo, and Shalina Bridgham. We'll go to Monterey, Mass, and it's Hannah's turn. Hannah, you're on.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So addressing the Danish cheese question, because I am half Danish, they do make a caraway Havarti, by the way. And Wisconsin is a USA-based, you know, like producer of Havarti.
Right.
Otherwise, it's imported. And I just had a smorgasbord, which is Swedish, but I'm an eighth Swedish, so acceptable. A smorgasbord is Danish. But we had Four Fat Fowl on our smorgasbord.
Oh, nice.
Oh, excellent. So cool.
Excellent choice.
Yeah, well, it wasn't my choice, but it was absolutely delicious.
Well, I'm glad it worked out for you all the same. Good for you.
That was for our third course. But I called in because someone had called and asked about the difference between queso fresco and queso blanco, and it's really about the dryness. So I really just called to comment on that.
Confirm that. Yeah, that was a speculation here on the show. So what else is in this smorgasbord that you did? Tell me about that before we let you go.
Well, I will try to succinctify this.
Okay.
So first course is bo, which is bread, sma, which is butter, and fish. So we had pickled herring, smoked salmon, smoked trout, and that's the first course. Second course is cucumbers, frikadella, which are Danish meatballs, sliced hard-boiled eggs, sliced potatoes, and Aisha, which are Danish pickles.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, my brother had gotten Bubby's pickles, which are great.
Okay.
But
sounds delicious.
It does sound delicious.
And
how many courses are there?
Yeah, right. That's great.
And the third course is the cheese course, which is crackers.
Nice.
Multiple cheeses.
Well, listen, hey, Hannah, we're overdue for a break here, but thank you so much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's cheese today. It's wine. It's sake, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be back. Frank Rossellino and Sneaky Oso here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. That's the telephone number. We're on the air, just so that everybody knows. Hello. Hi. We're on the air.
Oh.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Good. You got your headphones on again. It's Shalina Bridgham, Mary Rizzo, and John Fisher. It's a cheese show. It's a little relaxed. 800-348-2551. What were you guys talking about?
We were talking about Cabra Cafe.
What's that?
Which is a goat's milk cheese that has coffee on the rind.
Oh, you just gave me a little taste
of
that.
I did just give you
a taste of that. It's very nice. Well,
she didn't give me a taste of that.
You don't like goat's milk?
She looked right at me and said, "This isn't for you.
Why?
You're not going to like it."
So you're not you do soft cheese, but goat milk doesn't do it for you, Shalina.
I have not come across a goat product yet in cheese
really
that I love. The closest thing I can do is like RNG's Fresh Chev is not real, like his milk's nice and fresh, so you're not getting a lot of gamey goat.
Yeah.
But it's a very strong flavor, so I have not come across an aged goat's milk cheese that I love, and one of these days I'm gonna, because I will always continue to try them,
but not today.
That I know just by looking is going to be too much, and
it was really great. And
Mary,
I think,
says no, I believe her.
The coffee grinds, is that what's on there?
Yeah, coffee grinds.
It's really an interesting idea, both texturally and flavor profile wise.
I put it on my toast in the morning, so it's, you know, just getting my breakfast right off the
hardcore.
How many different kinds of cheese will you eat just recreationally in a day?
Oh,
not at work for taste, but just during the day, like breakfast, lunch, dinner.
At least one at every meal.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you ever have like the American cheese? You ever have the American cheese?
I am a turophile. I don't really discriminate.
I love cheese.
Cheese, full stop. I'm in.
All right, fair enough. Let's.
Ray, were you talking about something wrapped in plastic sheets, though?
No, I don't go for the plastic sheets. I go for the blocks and deli cheese. Like, I like the Cooper American. I think that's really good.
Okay. Wait, what were we pairing with this one? Did we do it yet and I missed it?
No. Well, what I did is I gave you this.
Okay.
This is an old ale from Suarez in Livingston, New York.
How old?
It's just, that's the name of the beer.
Oh,
probably younger than you.
Okay. Ouch. Oh, zing.
But it's a style that he does make some English-style cask-style beers, and this is the closest you can get to a cask beer in a can.
Okay.
But I gave you this because we have the farmhouse beer, the sour beer, tart beer from Plan B in Poughkeepsie. And
that's nice.
It's a little, yeah.
That is nice.
The old ale has a softness and a roundness. It goes with so many different foods. And the thing about the farmhouse beer, this beer, is it's very tart, which means it can act almost more like a wine with cheese. But beer with cheese, wine with cheese, if I have a choice, I will go with beer.
Interesting.
Beer tends to be better with cheese than wine.
Hmm. Now, again, I know we've talked about this before, and we do have to get back to the phones, but what constitutes a farmhouse-style beer?
Well, it's on a farm.
it's not a flavor thing. It's just where it's made.
To a certain degree, it is a flavor thing because it's beer that's made in somewhat more rustic conditions. Very often the yeasts are ambient yeasts that are from the area as opposed to inoculating it with yeast from a package that came from California.
All right.
So that and also the fact that this brewery, Plan B, they use their yeast is actually cultured from the honey from their beehives. So the honey changes seasonally as the plants are changing. So literally they have like four different yeasts throughout the course of the year.
Huh.
So not only are they unique in that way that is so super local, but they change from season to season because the honey changes and the yeast changes.
Now, can you, with your sophisticated palate, tell the difference?
No.
No. The number here is 800-348-2551. Before we go to our next caller, Ruth in Kingston. Mary, what did you hand me?
I handed you a traditional Brie Fermier.
Okay.
So this Brie is a double cream. It comes from the north of France. And you're going to find that it's got a little funkiness to it, right?
Yeah, a little bit or a lot.
Try that with it.
Or a lot. It's definitely not St. Stephen, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a grown-up cheese.
Triple cream.
Okay, so there is a difference in how they make this?
Correct.
Oh, for sure.
So a lot of times when someone comes to the cheese case and they say they want Brie, they mean a triple cream.
Okay.
And so a triple cream, I'll let you explain since it's a cheese style you make.
Shalina.
It has cream added. And to be a triple cream, you have to be, I believe it's over 75. I was going to say 86, but no, 76, 75% in butterfat, where a double cream can be below that. So
but
the processes are the same, but that cream makes a big difference. The fat and how things age and taste really make a difference.
But one quick thing about that is that triple cream doesn't mean it has three times the calories. It's triple the fat in the solids.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a lot of water in cheese. So you've tripled
especially
the fat but in the solids, but not in the entire cheese. So it isn't like a calorie bomb. It is richer. It does have more calories, but it isn't insanely richer than a single or a double cream.
It goes well with the 50. Very nice.
Yeah.
The double.
Very nice, yeah.
50 is really good.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines here. It's Shalina Bridgham, Mary Rizzo, and John Fisher. And it's Wine and Cheese today. Ruth is in Kingston. Ruth, you're on.
Hi. I have been looking for a while and have not been successful in my area to find a walnut cheese.
Walnut
so
cheese.
Cheese with walnut in it, not around it or added on top. It's inside the cheese.
Okay.
And this is an aged cheese, or is this something that's like a cheese ball with the nuts?
With walnuts.
And Ruth, please turn your radio down if you can in the vehicle, okay? And then now go ahead and answer that question.
Not a cheese ball. It's not the walnuts are not on the outside.
Okay.
It's actually in a semi-soft, I think. I have not had it. I've only seen pictures of it. Cheese.
So there is a Swiss soft ripened cheese that is made with walnuts that I bring in for the holidays. But all cheese that's under 45 days old has to start with pasteurized milk. So where you kind of lost me was your request for raw milk cheese that has walnuts in it. I even have a sheep's milk cheese from Italy that is 3 to 4 months old and has pistachios in it. So even though it's over that age requirement, they pasteurize their milk to start with as well. Whenever you start adding adjuncts into your cheese body, you start to change what's alive in your cheese. And so you want to take as many precautions as you can as a maker to make sure that cheese is going to be healthy and delicious at the end of the make. So putting a nut with a raw milk It's not something I hear of regularly.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry if I must have misspoke that, because it's not a raw milk cheese. It's a semi-soft cheese with walnut in it.
Okay. And, I got to tell you, Ruth, I have not been on a Vox Pop where my guests have cheated so much by using their phones. But Shalina is now on her phone.
Well, because the walnut cheese, I found a Gouda come up at Trader Joe's, but I...
No, it's from Switzerland. It's called Mosier Screamer, and you can get it with or without walnuts. And so last year I had it in both ways.
Do you know who the maker is on that, Mary? I'm curious.
So you're saying Trader Joe's?
No.
Has a walnut Gouda. Oh.
I saw online Trader Joe's has a walnut Gouda. Because, yeah. I mean, I sell a lot of cheeses, but a walnut one is not.
Okay. Well, I guess you stumped the
company.
Go ahead,
Ruth. Did you say the company was Mosier?
The name of the cheese was that. It's from Switzerland.
Okay.
Okay.
Mosier. Thanks, Ruth. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Jackie writes in, my lactose sensitivity has progressively become almost a complete intolerance. Can you recommend a cheese that I may be able to tolerate, something with a lower lactose level?
The older it is, the better.
She's got to eat aged cheeses.
So a 15-year-old cheddar would be...
Fine.
Really?
Yes.
So what happens when the cheese ages that reduces the lactose?
The bacteria are eating the lactose.
It ages out. It has enough time to eat it, and then it can't last forever. So your casein, after a year, ages out completely. What that bacteria hasn't had a chance to eat is going to go naturally.
And conveniently, that activity from the bacteria is also adding flavor and complexity. But like Parmigiano Reggiano, 2-year-old Parmesan, she'd probably be okay eating that.
I love a nice piece of Parmesan. Not ground up on my meatballs, but
just straight up, and it's so delicious.
You
break off pieces of it. You don't slice it. You break it.
If you're sure it's the lactose that you're reacting to, a lot of people react to the casein, which is the protein, and that never leaves the cheese. So if your aged cow's milk cheese is still giving you those tummy troubles, you probably have a casein allergy. And
which means you're going to want to have goat cheeses, try those, or sheep cheeses, because their casein is in a different place on the chain completely, and it's less and it's more tolerable. You know, in infants with cow's milk and stuff, you'll see them, they'll do some goat's milk or some sheep's milk because they can digest it.
All right, Gray writes in, I used to be able to find Sapsago cheese, but lately I can't. I hope it's still available. Can you suggest anything? What is that?
I haven't had it in a long time. I just barely remember the name.
Sapsago. Never heard of it. Mary, you look perplexed as well.
Yeah, that's not one in my repertoire.
Wow. I mean, I thought you knew every cheese. No?
It sounds so familiar.
I don't want to look because I feel like it was a cone shaped and in. Like a Montanella cone of ricotta for grating, but Sapsago is like a softer cone style. Now I'm going to look.
Everyone's looking, so it's okay. 800-348-2551.
Yes, it is a cone.
Okay. And how do you eat it?
It's
in a cone shape. Would you look at that?
Like a Montanella cone, but it's soft. Like the Montanellas are meant to be grated, and this is not. But I think it's a similar. And I was thinking an Italian import, but my internet thing here is clearly telling me Swiss.
Okay. Well, you get the Swiss Alps, you get the Italian. All right. Chris writes in, goat good. I'm with your guest concerning domestic goat cheese. However, during the cheese cart visit, during a meal, the goat cheese experience is improved tremendously. I don't know what the cheese cart visit is. Do we know what that is?
Well, when cheese cart comes over to the
restaurant.
Oh, if you went to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been to one in several years. So they don't have one at Arby's.
There's a new restaurant opening in the spring in Manhattan. It's a cheese conveyor belt restaurant, which I think
already has one in London. So
yeah, it's
great
the same
that it's
people.
Coming to America.
So it's those same people that are bringing it over and doing it in, and it should be open in June for summer fancy food.
Explain that again. There's a conveyor belt.
Conveyor belt.
This is like the Jetsons.
This is like, I don't know if you've seen it, like with a lot of sushi restaurants are doing this with the conveyor belt, except it's going to be cheese specific.
Right. So all these little plates will be coming rolling to you with different cheeses on them. in portioned amounts, and you just grab it if it looks good. And I have long arms, so I am going to love it.
And if you're a super glutton, this is for you, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's
exactly.
Like the Lucy show where she's making the candies or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you have it. Chris writes a follow-up on the goat. In France, I see. The cheese cart visit was in France. Now I explain.
There you go,
we're
Chris.
Catching up here.
Yeah, it's a shame the show's just about over. Now I think we're up to speed.
Okay.
All right, Mary Rizzo, anything else that we haven't tried yet?
We have not tried Cantel yet that I brought. So this is the
she means you.
Oh, you've had plenty.
I've been sitting right next to her.
This is a precursor to cheddar. So if you
do you mean?
So if you think back into the world when France was called Gaul and the Romans were conquering that land, they would accept this as a form of payment for taxes. And so because this cheese, Cantel, is an 80-pound drum, and it could last. It was preserved for up to 6 months. And if you think back in that era, cheese lasting that long had to be ancient.
Yeah.
And so when you taste this, doesn't it taste like a mild yogurty cheddar?
I love it. I could see this on a grilled cheese with some mustard.
So as the Romans moved through France and into southern England, they happened upon a town where the townsfolk, this is a little lore now, but stole bits of that cheese, right? And they kind of reverse engineered it in this town of cheddar and started making a cheese based on this Cantel. And so cheddar, the cheese from cheddar, is known today as cheddar cheese.
I'll be darned.
It's pretty cool, Mary.
Yeah,
and
it
so
is.
So if you know, you can
taste. Mild, it's delicious.
And so basically at its root, it is a pressed curd. If you break into it, you can see it separates into nuggets just like a cheddar. And so lightly salted. And its lifespan is about that 6 to 8 month time frame.
Pretty
natural
good.
Rind, delicious.
Well, I think we're about out of time here. Mary Rizzo, if people want to find the Cheese Traveler online or in person, how are they going to do that?
So online, you go to www.thecheesetraveler.com, and all my classes are on there, information about the store and its hours. Or you can come see me at 540 Delaware Avenue. We have a nice little parking lot out front. We've got some really cool neighbors, and we're making cheese, and National Cheese Lovers Day is coming up.
Did you say Bitchin' Donuts is next to you now?
Bitchin' Donuts
How
is
about
next
that?
To me
Amazing.
Now.
So you really got it going on. What's that after?
And then
midday.
There's a yoga loft upstairs, so when you've had your fill, you can stretch it out.
Load up on some of the cheddar and do some yoga. What could go wrong? John Fisher, thank you for being here, sir. Anything you want to promote?
Just quickly, if you haven't bought a ticket yet for the beer festival for the New York State Brewers
Association
at the Desmond in Albany.
Okay.
My event sold out.
Which is good.
It is fantastic.
The main event has not sold out, but I will be there pouring for the Culinary Institute Brewery.
Oh, awesome. And Shalina Bridgham, how do people find Four Fat Fowl?
At www.fourfatfowl.com. And you can always stop into the creamery. People don't realize it, but we're open to the public during business hours, and you can grab some cheese. And
Steventown, New York.
Yep, 473 State Route 43.
You know what? All of you behaved much better today than the last time.
We worked hard at it.
It's very good.
You were the one that spilled the
you
drink.
You threatened
and
us.
And you spilled the beer. You know what? I just want it noted.
All right, show's over, kids. Support comes from Clock Estate, Hudson, New York, an earth-to-glass brandy distillery and destination that features tourist tastings, fine dining, and a hilltop view of the northern Catskill Range, clock-estate.com. The Center at Eagle Hill, Hardwick, Mass., presenting Stephen Sondheim's Assassins, performed by the EHS Drama Group, Friday, January 23rd through Sunday, January 25th, thecenteratEagleHill.org. At Rolling Rock Farm, salt and seasonings working to spread peace, love, and happiness with infused sea salts, pepper, and blends, handcrafted in small batches, specializing in black garlic, rollingrocksalt.com. Okay, I made it. That's it. See you Monday.